My name is Great Power Uti of Nigeria.
WinFM, welcome to Covering the Canvas. I am your host, Jesse Beard. I am joined here by the Covering the Canvas team tonight. First off, Australian wrestling legend, pillar, saviour, and all-round nice guy.
Icon.
It gets better every week.
Shane Hero. Man with a camera, and one of Australia's best photographers, and also one of the two British people in Australia.
There's two of us, apparently.
Steve Bradford.
Hello.
That joke only really works if Ben's here, because...
Now he's the only one.
Yeah. So the one of one. We are missing out on Commissioner Norris and Ben tonight, but in their place at the moment, Platinum Wrestling senior referee Warwick Braden.
Yes!
You got the name right. I'm flattered.
Filling in tonight. How's everyone feeling?
Splendid.
Splendid? Good.
After a wonderful evening of watching WWE pay-per-view. Mm. Wonderful, wonderful end to the day.
Yeah. Well, let's start off the show with some sad news. Virgil Reynolds, known as Dusty Rhodes, has passed away at the age of 69. No confirmed reports have come in yet of what his cause of death was, but our thoughts and prayers are with the Reynolds family. Through the week, the news broke. I'm sure everyone listening and everyone on the show knows. Sadly, Dusty Rhodes has passed away. Mm. Like you said, Dusty Rhodes was in your era.
Yeah.
Oh.
Dusty Rhodes was in several eras. He was in several eras. Mm. He was a big star before I even got into wrestling. Yep. He was one of those guys who you would look through the old wrestling magazines and you would see photos of him that appeared to be from many, many years ago, as an NWA champion and this big, huge star in... Yep. Other promotions, because of course back in the days when I was sort of starting out reading on wrestling, watching wrestling videos, we didn't get a lot of NWA sort of stuff. So my appreciation for that era of Dusty came a little bit later on, but the era that I did sort of become familiar with Dusty was the yellow polka dotted Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream of WWF era. Yeah. And Warwick, you were into WWF wrestling of that same sort of era and grew up watching that sort of era on VHS hired from the video shop.
Yeah. probably didn't really get to see a lot of his earlier stuff on like the 70s and 80s in the NWA, more just sort of the late 80s, early 90s WWF stuff, which I guess at that time he wasn't really a main event guy. He was more Hogan was the main guy and Dusty was one of the top faces still and still very popular. And
someone who sort of, when you were just sort of getting into wrestling, he was, I was always into wrestling, but wrestling at that time, Dusty was like this sort of inexplicably popular guy because you had like the Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan, and then Dusty Rhodes' physique wasn't kind of on par with that yet. Yeah. The crowd just responded really well to this guy out there in polka dots.
I think because he was like the common man, like the everyday person didn't look like Hogan or Warrior, but they probably did look a bit more like Dusty Rhodes and could relate to him a bit more.
Yeah, he sort of broke the mold in a lot of ways. I mean, he didn't exactly have the look. As we've just mentioned, he didn't exactly have the voice for, live talking on the mic, but he sort of managed to turn that to his advantage somehow.
He's got it.
With his Texan drawl, and he just hooked the crowd.
Just massively charismatic. Someone who would just talk and just every word he said just drew you in and
absolutely.
If you've heard some of his old promos and stuff, that guy just knew how to talk to a wrestling crowd and appeal to the common man. He was that blue collar kind of guy who everyone sort of felt that they could relate to. And obviously not just his wrestling career, but behind the scenes, the guy was extremely influential. Mm. Yeah, I mean,
being the NXT lead writer, so most of these stories we see now on NXT that we all love, all Dusty's idea.
Yeah, and if you've seen some of the tributes coming in from the current crop of WWE talent, so many of them are saying the influence that Dusty has had on their formative years in wrestling and just teaching them the aspects of how to be a good performer. Mm. And no one's had a bad word to say about just the influence that he's been able to have on their career right up until this week, obviously. Yep. And
I mean, even Casey Cassidy posted something, and how long she been there.
Yeah.
And he was a big fan of Buddy Murphy, kept talking him up on Twitter and such. So
yeah, and also, I mean, if you go back to his days in WCW, behind the scenes, he was, if you actually look at their credits, Virgil Runnels is actually credited in there, who at the time, no one really knew who Virgil Runnels was.
Yeah.
But he was one of their lead creative guys for many years, who came up with things like War Games, Lethal Lotteries, and
very creative stuff. Oh, he was behind the movie they made at one stage,
yes,
wasn't
he? Yes, their little mini movies.
WCW movie, yeah.
Some of their things. He was very ahead of his time. If you've ever seen those mini movies, I mean, Warwick, you can attest to this. They're horrible.
Yeah.
They're not good at all. No. But he was ahead of his time because that sort of stuff had never been tried before. And I think in years to come, it was definitely refined. Mm. And it was like your prototype for what has become sports entertainment.
Mm. Well, look at Lucha Underground now. That's pretty much a whole movie. And that would have been based around it.
And without someone like Dusty Rhodes sort of pioneering that idea in wrestling up until that point was a sport. Mm. You didn't have these creative elements like that in there. And
the Dusty finish, even.
The Dusty finish. he was someone who he didn't actually create the Dusty finish, but he certainly perfected it, and it became a staple. To the point where I think during the Monday Night Wars, the Dusty finish was something that was said with almost just contempt, really, because it was sort of so overused. So it's a shame that his name sort of gets attached to something that's got a bit of a negative stigma like that. And yet, when used properly, the Dusty finish is brilliant.
Mm.
Particularly if you look at before the Monday Night Wars, back in the NWA territory days, where people weren't watching everything on TV that happened, you would have your big main star seemingly win the NWA title. Your local hero has won the NWA title, only to have it just stolen from his clutches through some nefarious goings-on during the match, and he was actually disqualified and didn't get to have that that title that he'd come so close to winning. Mm. Brilliant technique. I've used it myself in matches. It's fantastic.
'Cause they used to use it a lot just to sort of test, like, up-and-coming wrestlers, whether or not they get over as a champion, see how the crowd reacts when they win the title without actually giving them the title. So.
many a phantom NWA title win was attributed to a Dusty finish. Mm.
Dusty really legitimized beating the crap out of guys in matches, like his old NWA times.
Oh, definitely.
How many was he? 7-time NWA champion? I'll double check that because I don't want to leave it as wrong. But like just bloody cowbell matches and stuff like that, where you just beat the absolute crap out of people.
Exactly. Like if you were only familiar with his polka dot era WWF persona, it was a shock when you did discover that old NWA stuff and say, oh my god, that's that guy who was dancing with Sapphire.
So he was 10-time NWA Florida heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
I'm just looking through some of his accomplishments now. It's amazing. He was IWA World Tag Team Champ here in Australia at one stage with Dick Murdoch. So, like, it goes to show, like you said, you made the point of, well, you've done something that Dusty Rhodes created, so it goes to show how big of an impact he's made that, like, an Australian indie show has a guy on it who's like, yeah, I'm going to do this because Dusty Rhodes did that. So it really goes to show how much of an impact he's made.
Exactly. And, I mean, I think his last appearance that we saw on TV was when he was in WWE with both of his sons, of course, better known as Goldust and Cody Stardust now. Mm-hmm. When the two of them were victorious, you know, what better sort of way to have his final appearance on TV than with his two sons standing tall? And I mean, I remember that show. It was by far the biggest pop of the night. Mm. Those three standing tall and victorious at the end. So, definitely a nice way to cap off a excellent career.
Absolutely. Give us a call on 9919-8089. We're just going to take a short break, and after this, we will be back.
American Dream. He's just a common man, working hard with his hands. He's just a common man, working hard for the man. Hey, he's a man.
Music on 88.9 Win FM.
In times of extreme weather events, it's important to keep updated on changing conditions. For the latest information, check the following websites: the Bureau of Meteorology, www.bom.gov.au, the State Emergency Service, www.ses.vic.gov.au, or the Country Fire Authority, www.cfa.vic.gov.au, or tune into ABC Radio 774 on the AM band. Keeping informed will help keep you safe. A Win FM community announcement.
Want to listen to the great programs on Win FM but don't have access to a radio? Win FM is now streaming live online. Head to www.winfm.org.au and follow the links to listen to your favourite programs from any computer in the world. Spread the word and tell your friends from around the globe about the sound of the West. Win FM, now streaming online at www.winfm.org.au.
You gotta have pride.
Tune in to Open Closet every Monday night at 9 for the most comprehensive look back at the local and international gay news of the week. A preview of the week ahead for everyone in the Rainbow family and all our friends. Some great music and loads of fun along the way. Join me, David White and Neil Maloney as we throw open the closet 9 o'clock every Monday night right here on 88.9 Win FM, the sound of the West.
Win FM!
Thank you.
FM Community Radio, broadcasting from the Victoria University at Werribee.
Yo, man, it's a lot of brothers out there flaking and perpetrating, but scared to kick reality.
Yo, Dre, you've been doing all this dope producing. You had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do? Do.
No facilities, cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor, my behavior is hereditary, but my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it get funky when you got a subject and a predicate. Add it on a dope beat and it'll make you think. Some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach, cause they don't flow like this one. You know what, I won't hesitate to diss one or two before I'm through, so don't try to sing this. Some drop science, well I'm dropping English, even if Yella makes it a cappella. I still express yo, I don't smoke weed or sex, cause it's known to give a brother brain damage, and brain damage on the mic don't manage nothing but making a sucker in you equal. Don't be another sequel. Spread yourself. Do this here. Spread yourself. Do it. Stop playing. Ice Cube. It's not for the pop chart. So where should a brother like you start expressing yourself, my boy, and show you how your track?
What up?
Drop English right about now. Getting back to the PG, that's program, and it's easy. Dre is back, new jacks are made hollow. Expressing ain't the subject because they like to follow the words, the style, the trend. The records are spinning again and again and again. Yo, you're on the other end. Watch a brother blend, dope rhymes, but no help. There's no fessing or guessing while I'm expressing myself. It's crazy to see people be what society wants them to be, but not me. Ruthless is the way to go, they know. Others say rhymes which fail to be original, or they kill where the hip-hop starts. Forget about the ghetto and rap for the pop charts. Though some musicians, cuz at home, they're scared to use profanity when up on the microphone. Yeah, they want reality, but you hear none. They'd rather exaggerate a little fiction. Some say no to drugs and take a stand, but after the show, they go looking for the dope man. Or they ban my group from the radio here in WA and say hell no. But you know it ain't all about wealth, as long as you make a note to spread yourself. Do it here. Spread yourself. Hey, do it. A lyricist. Yo, Dre is the name for it. I make something dope on a record, that's what he came for. Kicking reality, yo, but stand itself. But it's important that you keep it in mind too. From the heart, cause if you wanna start to move up the chart, then expression is a big part of it. You ain't efficient when you flow. You ain't swift, moving like a tortoise, full of rigor mortis. There's a little bit more to show. I got rhymes in my mind, embedded like an embryo or a lesson. All of them expression. And if you start fessing, I got a Smith & Wesson for you. I might ignore your record because it has no bottom. I get loose.
loose in the summer, winter, spring, and autumn. It's Dre on the mic, getting physical, doing a job. And WA is the lynch mob. It's a macabre, but you know you need this. And the night I just going just like a fetus or a tumor. Well, here's the rumor. Dre's in the neighborhood, and he's up to no good. When I start expressing myself, yell and slam it. Cause if I stay funky like this, I'm doing damage. Or I'ma be too hype and need a straight jacket. I got knowledge, another sucker's lacking. So when you see Dre, a DJ on the mic, ask what it's like we're getting hyped tonight. Cause if a strike, it ain't for your good health, but I won't strike if you just spread yourself. Do it good. Spread yourself.
WinFM, welcome back to Covering the
Express
Canvas.
Express Yourself. Sorry.
That was Express Yourself by NWA. Not the same National Wrestling Alliance, but
no.
Naughty Word with Attitude. Not going to play that one. How's
Nightcap Wrestlers with Attitude.
That's a good one. Give us a call on 9919-8089. It is 22 minutes past 8, and we are the Covering the Canvas team on Monday, the 15th
Half
of June.
The team.
2015. Yes, but we are joined by senior referee.
Oh, Hebner.
Of Platinum.
Well, Hebner. And my name would be?
Warwick Braden.
Yes.
Well done.
It's only like two or three syllables, so I got one. Warwick Braden.
And can we mention your former aliases as well to anyone?
If you've got time.
Formerly known as Shane Hero's lawyer.
Yes.
Formerly
yes.
known as.
Hector Von
Fuzzy Pants, the man, the myth, the legend. He is here tonight, sadly sans Fuzzy Pants or lawyer's suit. So he's in the persona of Platinum's former referee, referee.
Former senior official.
Former senior official. But look, as an occasional official for Platinum Wrestling, I do have some fantastic news tonight, because obviously
absolutely
at the,
fantastic
at the Hotel 520 show, I did announce to the crowd there that it was your second last show, Colac being of course your final show with Platinum.
Yeah.
It was a very emotional farewell.
It was.
There was tears by the Colac crowd.
Yeah.
But of course, not to disappoint everyone who was so emotionally invested in that farewell, tonight it is my absolute pleasure to announce that we have actually signed Warwick Braden as the senior official for Platinum Wrestling for another full 15 years. So congratulations, Warwick.
You heard it here first, folks.
Thank you. It's a great honour.
I think you've definitely, I would say you're winning at life by having earned that contract. So well done.
Absolutely. Very high-paying job for the next 15 years.
Exactly. It is a victory that has gone to you here tonight, Warwick.
I think I need to see that contract now. What's this high-paying stuff?
Ironclad.
I am glad.
You can't break it. It's like the Hulk Hogan WCW contract. No one can actually be paid more than me. No one can be paid more than me at Platinum now.
So there's like your contract and then everybody else's.
Yeah.
Right.
If anyone else gets more money, then I'm automatically entitled. And I pretty much have creative control over everything in the company.
Right. So. Welcome to Warwick Braden Wrestling, everybody.
There's going to be a referees division very soon.
Pretty much.
Let's start off with some local news. 2 weekends ago, Mad Dog McRae became the NAW 2015 King of the Cage, defeating Xavier Black in the final round. Team NAW also defeated Ego in the Cage, former friend of the show, former co-host of the show.
Yes. Mm.
Sean Hawkins, Mr. H, has been booted from not only Covering the Canvas, but NAW as well. PCW Roeville Roulette took place last Friday night, with Mark Cage retaining his title against the Enforcer, who was with none other than now co-host of the show, Benny English. Chris Trance also got his head knocked off with a 2x4 by Anthony Dangerfield.
He did. And look, if you've got the opportunity, go and check out the Professional Championship Wrestling Facebook page, because they've
absolutely
got,
killed him.
They've got a slow motion video on there of Chris actually taking that 2x4 to the head. And look, he has actually injured his eye as a result of that as well, because when I saw him earlier today, he's currently got his eye covered up in a pirate-like eye patch. So look, in all seriousness, we do wish Chris, all the best. Yeah, because
I did spend some time around a certain training school, and I don't think they ever covered eye bump.
Eye bumping onto a 2x4. We missed that week.
Yeah.
Nothing worse with a bit of wood in your eye.
It's just an eye bump, Chris. You'll get it one day.
MCW New Horizons was the next night with Marcus Pitt, Mr. Juicy, Damian Slater, and Dowie Janes advancing in the Inter-Commonwealth Championship Tournament. Now, Dowie James versus Josh Shooter. You were there, Steve.
I was there. It was a really good night. Really good show.
Was that a steel match, is what I'm trying to say? Was that an amazing match? The Dowie
Shooter
versus...
and Dowie match. It was amazing. Shooter was busted open about halfway through. Freakishly strong, Josh Shooter.
Yeah.
He was just picking Dowie up time and time again. Really, really good match.
What was the crowd like out there?
Yeah, really good, really good. I'd never been to that venue before. It's a good venue.
The Essendon venue?
Mm.
Yeah, nice area. Let's head on to our next segment.
It's so disingenuous.
No, it was. It was very... It's a good location. It's right near the train station there.
Yep.
So, yeah, perfect. Let's move on to our next segment. Keeping up with Power Uti.
Uti, Uti. Alrighty. Uti, Uti. Alrighty. Uti, Uti. Uti, Uti. Alrighty. Uti, Uti.
Alrighty. Oh, beautiful. It gets better every week.
I love that intro. That is amazing. But our good friend, Great Power Uti, look, Warwick, are you familiar with the good man himself?
I am familiar with Uti. I've seen some of his matches.
I'll pretend you didn't say that, because just to let you know, he is the CWA World Heavyweight Champion, CWA United States Champion, and leader of Bullet Club Nigeria, the Nigerian wrestling legend himself, Great Power Uti. And this week, he is pleading with a new kid on the block, Global Force Wrestling.
Mm.
Please do not use the six-side ring.
Oh.
Now, this could create some tension within Bullet Club, because, of course, Jeff Jarrett, a stalwart of the Bullet Club.
The American Bullet Club, though.
Not the Nigerians.
Bullet Club in general. I think Jeff Jarrett is known as probably one of the absolute best members of the Bullet Club in general. I say this as Sean Hawkins is turning in his grave.
Members go. Right up there.
I think Sean Hawkins has specifically died just so he can turn in his grave as I say how good Jeff Jarrett is in the Bullet Club. But, of course...
I don't agree with Sean very often. In this instance, he's spot on.
Mm.
But, of course, Jeff Jarrett and Great Power Uti perhaps butting heads within the ranks of great Bullet Club over Global Force Wrestling's use of potentially a six-sided ring. Ooh. So...
Could they come up with a compromise, maybe have like a five-sided ring, sort of meet halfway?
Possibly, or an eight-sided, just no one will be happy.
Then it becomes an octagon, so like, maybe what about a 12-sided ring?
What about a circle? The circled square.
Third squircle.
Third squircle was that.
But a little bit closer to home, and we did have a friend of the show, JXT, interacting with Great Power Uti just to... ask whether or not there were any more potential spots open in Bullet Club Nigeria, because Great Power Uti did let us all know on the 5th of June that from now on no one else was to ask him to join Bullet Club Nigeria after I believe another friend of the show, Jake Andrew Watha, uncovered the loophole of how to actually become a member of Bullet Club Nigeria, that being that you just merely need to ask. Yeah. And I think in the weeks following that, the ranks of Bullet Club Nigeria have actually overflowed. There's currently 2,078 members. He's trying to thin the ranks down, Power Uti, and he has let everyone know membership has been cut off.
Before... that, though, we had Australia's own Charlie Evans, who made a debut at Platinum Wrestling.
Get it right.
A few weeks ago, and she actually made it in, where she said, "Can I be in Bullet Club?" And he said, "Maybe." And then she asked again, and he said, "Okay, you can join." So as of this moment, we have two Australians in Bullet Club Nigeria.
Amongst the 2,078.
So. I'm not too sure if she's still allowed, because he does say to her, "Do not tell my wife," and then he says, "Do not mock me. I will still defeat you. I must." So it's a little iffy. I'm not too sure where we stand on the ground there with two Australians. He then goes on to say, "I am not stupid." And then says, "Sorry, big guy." So I think he may have kicked Charlie out and kept Jake in, but we're not 100% sure on these reports yet. Nothing's being fully confirmed.
Tension within Bullet Club Nigeria all round there.
It must be. Power Udi's just, he's been very grumpy this week by the sounds of it. He banned Barcelona for winning the World Cup. They're not allowed in Nigeria anymore.
The whole city of Barcelona.
Isn't it a country?
I think it's a city in Spain.
Well, he's banned.
It's banned regardless.
Yeah, oh. Barcelona. No longer allowed in Nigeria.
Oh.
So, that's...
I'm sure the whole city of Barcelona would just be... It's devastated.
Go from one war zone to another. Let's head on to international news. Money in the Bank was today with some pretty cool matches. Sheamus also.
Yeah, it absolutely was. It's very interesting show.
Sheamus walked away as Mr. Money in the Bank. John Cena beat Kevin Owens. The primetime players became the new WWE Tag Team Champions. And Seth Rollins retained his title in a ladder match. Now, everything I've heard about this show is pretty tops except for the kickoff. But, I'm seeing
what happened during the kickoff?
It just was not good.
Oh, okay.
Well, we're moving into a pay-per-view every 2 weeks now, so could it potentially be them, WWE, being like, well, they've already given us our money, we can do what we want, or are they still going
to
put on...
I think you're starting to see WWE take a little bit more of a chance with some people than we've possibly seen in the past. I think perfect example of that
John Cena
is... in the mid-card, really doing a fantastic job of putting people over. And today, for the first time I think ever, there was a legitimate, "This is awesome" chant three times during a John Cena match in 2015.
And it's not a sarcastic, wow, "This is awesome" chant like they used to do during David matches.
Exactly. It was a legitimate, "This is awesome," well-deserved chant because that was an absolutely fantastic match. Look, I think a lot of indie wrestling fans thought Kevin Owens was a star.
Yep.
Today, John Cena made Kevin Owens a star to the WWE Universe.
Did he use that absolutely pointless springboard stunner?
He did.
At the end of the match, though, he gave Kevin Owens the rub by shaking his hand and saying, "You do belong here." Don't quote me on that. But he did say something along those lines. So maybe we could see Kevin Owens doing a little face run sometime soon.
Oh, not at the end of the match. He definitely cemented himself as very much still in the heel camp. And look, it was, if you haven't had the chance to see it, it was a fantastic match. I would never have expected myself to legitimately be saying that John Cena had the best match of the night, because for a long time I've just felt that he was booked in a way, no disrespect to the guy himself, but I think the way he had been booked for a very long time made for not very interesting television. But I think the reasons for that were probably tied to the whole pay-per-view model and the fact that had your big star had to always be in the main event. He always had to be strong. They didn't want to necessarily take risks because of the fact that they needed to be trying to put on the best possible card every single pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Now, maybe less so, because they can take a few more chances and you've got guys in the main event spot that probably in years past you would not have seen. So... Even just the fact that you are seeing John Cena putting someone over in the way that he has with Kevin Owens, and even in previous weeks, guys like Neville, and just having really competitive matches, he's not losing anything, but he's making these guys look fantastic. And I think that's a chance that we might not have seen previously.
So. What about the primetime players winning the tag team championships? It's kind of weird to see because they've only just sort of like...
resurfaced stuff.
Yeah.
I was surprised to see them even on a pay-per-view, let alone to win a title.
Yeah, and like they were in one of those elimination chamber matches, weren't they?
They were.
Yeah, and they sort of played a big role in that too.
They've sort of come from nowhere a little bit. I didn't expect to see them winning a tag team championship anytime soon because I think they do have a particularly strong tag division at the moment. And maybe I'd underestimated where the primetime players had sat in that pecking order, but... oh, well, there we go. We've got him as tag champs now.
Just some breaking news. We have had an update from Jake Andrew Arthur. He has tweeted me. He said, "At Master Jesse Beer, to update you, it's all happy times in the club. At Charlie Evans is still in. We are getting T-shirts made." Smiley face. So that's good to hear. We've had some sad news come out, and we've had some good news come out of the week.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Give us a call at 9919-8089. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back after that.
Listening to Covering the Canvas on 88.9 Win FM.
Whatever gets you through the night.
Get you through the night. Call Lifeline on 13 11 14, day or night. All right.
Whatever gets you through your life. It's all right. It's all right.
Want to listen to the great programs on Win FM but don't have access to a radio? Win FM is now streaming live online. Head to www.winfm.org.au and follow the links to listen to your favourite programs from any computer in the world. Spread the word and tell your friends from around the globe about the sound of the West. Win FM, now streaming online at www.winfm.org.au.
When you're too tense, it's common sense to relax, Evo.
Just worrying about a problem has never been known to fix one. So why not relax with me, David Kennedy, at midday to 2 p.m. each Wednesday on Relax Evo. 2 hours of music and humour to brighten the day. Coming to you from Win FM 88.9, the sound of the West.
Dr. Bill.
This is Josh Shooter trying to make a bit of extra money at the gimme table, and you're listening to 88.9 Win FM, Sound of the West.
FM. Welcome back to Covering the Canvas. That was Chocolate by the 1975. Give us a call on 9919-8089. Now, guys, with the sad passing of Dusty Rhodes, as we said before, he was the head writer of... Dusty Rhodes was the head writer and creative director for the weekly NXT television broadcast. With his sad passing, we now look at who will now take over the lead writer role at NXT. Some names that are being tossed around by the fan base about who they would love to see take the position are Jim Cornette or Paul Heyman. What do you think about either of these people filling this huge role? Both of the names are real candidates. Yeah. Let's talk about Paul Heyman first.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely both would be legitimately considered for a role like that. I mean, if you think of the kind of caliber of mind it takes to compare to a Dusty Rhodes these days, I think your Cornette and your Heymans are probably the top on a very, very short list. Heyman's an interesting one because he hasn't really had much of a creative role with WWE since his return as Brock Lesnar's manager.
What about ECW?
Oh, he's definitely had a creative role in the past.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Do you mean recently?
Since his return in recent times with Brock, he hasn't had a creative role. Prior to that, yeah, he was heavily involved in ECW. He's heavily the WWE's version of ECW.
Yeah.
Heavily involved in SmackDown for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And prior to that, yeah, obviously the brainchild of the original ECW.
So. He also did OVW and they were the
development. He did too.
Yeah, exactly. And I think if you go back and have a look at the dirt sheets and reports of the end of any of Paul Heyman's run in such a capacity, it tends to usually revolve around huge amounts of tension, arguments, and Paul storming out or being just unceremoniously fired. Paul Heyman in a creative role is very much a very passionate man from everything I've ever heard and seen, knows what he likes.
But isn't Jim Cornette also very outspoken?
Yeah.
Yes.
He takes to social media and stuff like you know, fish to water. He just he just says what he wants.
Well, yeah, the next thing I was going to say is Jim Cornette has had a lot of trouble with some talent who is on top of NXT at the moment. Yeah. Saying things about Sami Zayn, we can't have a mute baby face, you need to learn how to present your verbal gimmick as well as physically. And he resisted most of our overtures to do that, and now of course works for the WWE. And for the right amount of money, he takes the mask off and he talks, which I think is actually a really mean thing to say. It's almost like little kids fighting.
Yeah,
over.
It is. So on the one hand, you've got one guy that might crack the sads and storm off in a half.
Which one are we referring to here?
Paul Heyman.
Easily
Paul
said Heyman. Both of them.
Versus one that will speak his mind and, you know, speak first and think about what he's saying later.
And I think, look, in all honesty, I mean, I think it's probably something to do with anyone who's a very creative, passionate person who strongly believes in their vision. Because I think Paul Heyman has been guilty of doing that. Cornette's guilty of doing that. Even Dusty, back in his day, was fired from his role as the WCW booker because Turner Broadcasting at the time had said, new rule, no blood. Sounds familiar. We're currently living in the PG era in WWE, but the rule was no blood. He was fired because he told the Road Warriors to stab him in the head with one of the spikes off their shoulder pads, bled all over the place, and that was Dusty's career in WCW finished. Right. Because obviously he was passionate that he thought that was important. There was no compromising.
Yeah.
Well, there wasn't any compromising. He was gone. Yeah. But he thought that was the right thing to do. And I think every time you've had Cornette's and Heyman's leave those roles, it's because they've believed in what they've been sort of fighting for and what their vision of things is. And probably, look, if Vince was in a position where he was having to answer to someone, he'd probably be doing the same thing and would have done the same thing over the years. He's just fortunate enough that he's never been sort of underneath
it. It kind of makes me think that he's not going to go with either of those guys. Because the question we're asking is not would these guys make really good writers. They obviously can and do.
Would,
exactly, yeah.
But we're talking about the head writer.
Would they clash?
You know, well, this guy's going to be the guy that every other writer comes to with a million ideas. And he's got to be the guy to say, no, that's crap. Yes, this is good. Let's run with this. Mm. Which is what Dusty was doing, you know.
And, like, if he doesn't like someone, is he going to give him the crap gimmick or the... Well, I've got a sound clip here of Jim Cornette talking about Kevin Owens, who's on top of his game at the moment. So we'll take a quick listen to that and we'll come back.
88.9 Win FM Community Radio.
My whole gripe or a point of conflict perhaps has been with Kevin Steen over the past few years since I worked with him in Ring of Honor. I haven't spoken to him in a couple of years, but at the time. And maybe you can help monitor in case I'm misspeaking somehow and not catching it. You can verify this, the same thing I pretty much said from the beginning of time. I didn't say the guy couldn't wrestle because we made him the Ring of Honor world champion for a year, for Christ's sake.
No, my understanding was your issue with him was more image than performance.
Well, it was style instead of substance. Here's what the thing is. What the thing is yes, we made him the world champion, and he cuts a great promo, and he had great matches. I said he was a pretty good athlete underneath there somewhere to be carrying all that excess weight and still moving around like that. The problem is he goes too far, and he didn't like to listen to anybody. He didn't like to do what you asked him to do without endless argument, without insisting on going too far, without not wanting to get in better shape, not wanting to clean up his look, constantly debating about same, and wanting to super kick the 5-foot-tall, 100-pound girl ring announcer for a high spot in the face, or with crashing through four tables, or just generally doing his own thing regardless of what the people employing him wanted him to do. And I said that would do him to working in front of 500 people in a rec center for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
This actually, it was, I understand that he had the motivation of the regular weekly check, but at a conversation I had with Kevin one time, I said, you know, if you did drop a little weight and clean up a little bit and maybe don't get the reputation for crashing through furniture so much, you could go other places and make more money. His response to me then, but this was 2010, was, I don't want to go anywhere else. This is what I love to do right here. So I took the guy at his word until he went somewhere else. Of course, they weren't beating his door down until he went to begin with either. So there you have it. I don't know what to say. I did.
What do we think about that?
Well, in one way, it's hard to argue with his logic, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, if you've got an employee that isn't doing what they're told to do.
It kind of makes sense. Yeah. But do you think that would affect...
It's an ego thing.
Yeah, that's it. But like I was saying before, it's what he's saying is very mean about, like, even if it is true, it's said in a very mean, and it's more than negative. I want to use a word, but I can't use the word. It's almost like two girls fighting and they just say the meanest thing they can about each other, but this is just one grown man saying it about another grown man.
Welcome to wrestling, Jesse.
Yeah.
Welcome to the backstage world of wrestling.
That's exactly right.
I think that's one thing that I've heard from a lot of people this week from reading sort of tributes from Dusty, is that apparently he was very positive in his approach to things. Whereas I think Heyman and Cornette have probably been...
You're doing this wrong. Get out of my sight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They've probably developed a bit of a reputation for just being harsh but true. And I think what he was saying there about Owens was harsh, but at the same time, it was true.
I think Bill DeMott's looking for a job.
What if they brought in someone like Vince Russo?
Vince Russo is
Swerve.
Someone, Steve was saying before, I mean, whoever becomes the head writer is someone who's going to be the filter in NXT. So he'll have, no doubt, he will have other people there throwing ideas. If you look back at the old WCW days when Vince Russo went there and did not have the filter of Vince McMahon, it was a disaster. One of the lessons that a lot of people learned was Vince Russo is obviously very creative, but needed to have someone who was a good filter. And I think Vince McMahon did that job very well, evidently. And I think there's a lot of guys like maybe Cornette and Heyman probably don't need the filter as much as someone else like maybe a Russo might. Warwick, your thoughts?
What about Dave Parsons?
Oh, jeez. I thought we weren't going to drop names, but all right. What about someone like... I know he's... never really written for wrestling, but he's been a journalist for years and years. Someone like Dave Meltzer. I know it would be a complete wild card and be the craziest news you would ever hear. But do you think someone like that, like a complete wild card, would benefit the company?
But at the same time, you also need someone that has the people skills to actually work with people. I mean, it's one thing to just report on wrestling and all that sort of thing, as to actually be there and... I mean, anyone can come up with ideas, but it's actually turning those ideas into a wrestling show, really.
And
like you say, I mean, the people skills. Yeah. Because you do have a lot of clashing egos backstage at a wrestling show, but I'm sure at a huge company like WWE, managing the roster is probably half the battle.
And,
you know, it's a huge responsibility to be handling that. So whoever gets the job is going to have some big shoes to fill.
Also, one thing just with, like, likes of Heyman or Cornette, I know these days in developmental it's very different to what it used to be because it's such a corporate structure. Apparently they're not even allowed to swear at people anymore, which someone like...
It's a lawsuit,
I
mean, that was the undoing Cornette of DeMott. That was the undoing of DeMott, the behaviour that was not corporate.
I know years ago, sort of probably in the early 2000s, Cornette was in charge of developmental with Lance Storm, and I think Lance was sort of the go-between between Cornette and a lot of people when he'd have altercations with them. It was sort of Lance that would sort of smooth things over between the two of them and the office and everything. So it was
give us a call on 9919 8089. We're going to take our final break and we will be back after this. FM. Welcome back to Covering the Canvas. I'm your host, Jesse Beard. It is 2 minutes to nine. Make sure you stay tuned after 9 o'clock for the open closet. Shane, now I believe in honour of Dusty Rhodes, you have something to say.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, I think we've obviously had a great night tonight with Warwick here in the studio. You know, as I said, you know, it was a huge win for you signing that 15-year contract.
Absolutely.
You know, massive victory for you. Congratulations.
We're sitting in the crowd. Home happy.
Yep. Yeah. I think we can all leave happy here tonight. So, you know, it's been a good show. Thanks for coming in, Warwick. And
yeah,
oh, hang on. I've noticed here your name's not on the contract. Why, you haven't actually won a 15-year contract, Warwick. I'm taking that away from you. It's staying with Platinum Wrestling. I guess you
could.
This
is an outrage.
No, Warwick. This is a dusty finish.
Covering the canvas.